But anyway, it's been great to be here again with you folks, and we've enjoyed the fellowship. And the Lord's been so good to us. I want to thank the Lord for my family. I know the other night I was pretty hard on my kids, and the truth is, kids are kids, you know. I know your kids are just like my kids, and kids will be kids. But the Lord gave us some, you know, great kids, and they've adjusted so well to Poland. The first year we were there, they all went to Polish schools. Even though the director of the school said it couldn't be done, she said, "No, you cannot put your kids in this school. They cannot learn this language. They're from America, you know. They don't know any Polish, right?" I said, "No." "Well, they can't learn Polish." I said, "Yeah, you can give them a shot. They can learn." "No, they can't." So anyway, we went back and forth several times, and she insisted that they could not learn Polish. And so I had to go to the big honcho, the head honcho, the top dog, whatever you call the guy, you know, the administrator of the whole school system. And we called him up, you know, with some neighbors to help us out. And he's forced her to take those kids. He said, "You take those kids into your school." So she was forced to do it, and she had to eat her words because my kids learned Polish. Amen. And then it's in her third year now of public school, and Josh and Missy, since then have now started homeschooling, but they all know Polish well enough to get along, and I'm just thankful to the Lord for His grace. Amen. And how my family adjusted, and how Debbie adjusted so well after being in Mexico for so many years, and then she was just very willing and very glad to follow me to Poland. Amen. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for a good wife that's faithful, that follows me around, and all the change and the insecurity and the different culture and just a different life, you know. God's been good, and I'm thankful for such a great family. Proverbs chapter 11. I can't thank God enough for your prayers, for your thoughts, for your offerings, for just your dedication. Amen. To get the gospel out. You know, it's just, the Lord's done a wonderful work, and we're thankful to have people that are so dedicated to getting the gospel out, that don't spend millions of dollars on a big new complex and have, you know, nice shirts that have your name on it like Danny has over there with, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, it's not that important, is it? You know, it's just the gospel is the issue. Getting the gospel out is what is important. And the Lord's just done a mighty work, and we're thankful for that. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11, not 10. 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to gather together around with your people and, Lord, with your word. And we pray you speak to our hearts tonight. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for sending your son to die in our place. We're not worthy, Lord, but we thank you for having mercy upon us. We pray you bless this meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And I guess we can look at verse 18 and find out what about the unrighteous. It says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of God's people is there. I mean, it's a tree of life. It's not dead fruit. It's not tares. It's not deceitful weeds. It's a tree of life. And we need to be involved in bearing good fruit. Amen. Fruit that remains. Fruit that really lasts. I'd like to talk tonight about this idea of winning souls. It says, "He that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls is wise. You know, it doesn't say he that winneth souls is popular. Because usually, if you're a soul winner, you're not very popular. All around here, you might be kind of popular. You might be, you know, respected around here. But outside those doors, if you're a soul winner, you're not very popular. It doesn't say you'll be wealthy. Because for the most part, soul winners are not very wealthy. They just spend all their money on 13-cent chick tracks, you know? Spend all their money on supporting missionaries and giving out Bibles and just, you know, they don't care so much about getting wealthy. And doesn't say they're healthy. Doesn't say they're healthy. You're worried about your health. And doesn't say that if you win souls, you're going to be healthy. It doesn't say that. It says winning souls is wise. And what do you think God is looking for? You think He's looking for people who are concerned about their health or their finances or their popularity? Or is God looking for people who are wise?
Amen.
People who really want to do what is right. Do what is, is important in God's eyes. He that winneth souls is wise. Several things about this wisdom of winning souls. Matthew 26 and verse 16. We talk about winning souls as in winning a battle, as in wrestling souls from the grip of the enemy. We talk about winning souls as in rescuing them from an eternal hell. We talk about winning souls who are lost, winning souls who have no hope outside of Christ. That's the job, if I may say, use the word, the job that God says is a very wise job, a very wise pastime, a very wise thing to do is to win souls. Why is that? Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 16, well, that's not the right verse, is it? How come I said that? Maybe it's 16:26. That's probably what it is. Yeah. I could blame that on Polish probably if I wanted to. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know why winning souls is wise? Because there's nothing more important than a soul. There's nothing more important than a soul. A man who wins souls, he is wise because he knows the value of a soul. He knows what a soul is worth. A man who wins souls, he understands that in God's eyes, there's nothing else more important. Now, today, it's hard to imagine that. I mean, most people can imagine that. You know, the computer age sure has thrown things into a big mess, hasn't it? I mean, you can't talk to anybody anymore. I tried today. I was on the phone today trying to get some information on the phone about some computer software, by the way. Mistake number one, right? I call this number, 1-800 blah blah blah. If you're calling from a touchtone phone, press 1. Okay, here we go. I press 1. And if you want information about this, press 2. Okay, I press 2. If you want information about this, press this. And I go off to the same about 4 or 5 steps. And then the last thing is, I push the last one and it says, okay, if you call about this, call 1-800, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I gotta go through the whole thing all over again, through all this. I can't talk to anybody to find out what I want to talk to. It's all computer. And then I finally get another number for something else. And I'm calling this number and it gets me through the whole thing all over again, all these steps. And I finally get to the end and it says, if you want information about this, see our webpage at blah, blah, blah. Thank you. Goodbye. I didn't talk to anybody. Nobody. Even though goodbye was a recording, You can't talk to people. You know what? People these days don't think people are that important anymore. Maybe, computers are a great thing, I guess, but sometimes I wish I could just talk to somebody personally, Just talk to them and say, I got this problem, what can I do? Oh no, it's all by computers nowadays. Let me tell you, in God's eyes, computers ain't nothing. In God's eyes, souls are what is important. In God's eyes, it's people who are dying is important. In God's eyes, it's your neighbor. It's your coworker. In God's eyes, it's your uncle and your aunt. That's what's important in God's eyes. They say computers replace people, and that's great. Everybody's making lots of money now because computers have just streamlined everything and replaced a lot of people. That's great. Wonderful. But computer is still just a computer. It's still a dead old thing that one day is, going to be worth very little. In fact, it's not worth much now. The one you bought yesterday is already obsolete. It ain't worth nothing. Computers are not the issue here. I went fishing one time about 2.5 years ago. Right before I went to Pullman fishing. And me and my dad and my brother went out deep sea fishing. And man, I caught a fish. Whoa, I thought it was a whale and I was bringing this thing in. It ended up being about 3 feet long, weighed about 23 pounds. I never seen a fish so big in my life. That was a great thing, And I thought, wow, everybody's going to be impressed with this fish. Yeah, right. Wasn't a big deal. It was to me, but it wasn't many people, anybody else. You know what? That little great adventure was fun, but it's not that important. That memory, you know, is just a memory. It didn't really last very long. What is important here? What is important? His soul. He that winneth souls is wise. And we put so much importance on so many things. And God says, you better be winning souls. Amen. You better be involved in winning people's souls. Because see, you catch a fish, and he won't replace you. You can't make a fish catch other fish. Oh, you can cut the guy up, you know, you can for bait, but you can't catch a fish to catch other fish. Oh, but you win a soul, and that soul can be taught to go out and win other souls. You can replace yourself with winning souls. That's what God is interested in. I think about that story in the Gospels where Jesus finds this man who has these devils, and the devils say, you know, let us go out into those swine. And Jesus says, fine, great, you know, and he lets them go, and these devils enter in all these herd of swine, and they all go over the cliff and into the water, and they drown. And we think, oh, poor piggies, you know. Baloney, you know, God, he wasn't that interested in pigs. It was that man. It was that man who afterwards was found sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And everybody got mad. Oh, you, how could you do that? This is God's creation. Let me tell you, that was a soul right there. Pigs are pigs, and they're going to die, and they're nothing but soul. Oh, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If he has everything he could have, the best, the most finest, the most fastest computer ever built, which tomorrow will be obsolete, what has he gained if he lost his own soul? Amen. Winning souls is wise. Amen. Because there's real value in a soul. Amen. You say, there's no real value in things you see. Things you see have no real value. Just put a match to it and you'll find out. Put a match to it and you'll find out it has no value. Short circuit the wires in that computer, you'll find out that computer is not worth very much anymore. Souls have value because souls are forever. They're forever. And if they're not forever in heaven, my friend, they're going to be forever in hell for all eternity. You see, it's a matter of perspective. Get your perspective right. We have to live in this world. That's great. But don't forget to look at those things which are not seen. First Corinthians, look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I hope this is right. Luke 15, 10 or 10, 15. We'll find out. Luke 15, 10. Jesus says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know what you better find out when you're deciding about what is important in your life? When you decide, not only, I'm not just talking about what your career is or what your job is. Many of us have to have just a simple old menial job, whether it's sweeping a floor somewhere or cleaning out, you know, toilets or whatever it may be. When you're trying to decide what it is that you want to do that'll make God happy, that'll please God, you better, things that will bring you true fulfillment, you better find out what makes God happy. It says that in the presence of the angels, there is joy when a sinner repents. It doesn't say there's joy when some dog gets, you know, healed by or operated by some doctor. It doesn't say there's joy when some guy fixes your computer problem. There's joy when a sinner repents. That's what brings God joy. Amen. Oh, what do we find ourselves doing? We find joy in just the menial things and the earthly things and the common things. And those things are great and they're given to us to enjoy. But let me tell you, my friend, if you don't get involved in this idea of winning souls, your life is going to be one miserable, unfulfilled life. You won't really be happy. Amen. You'll be chasing that dream and you'll never find it. And you'll try to find joy in these earthly things that really won't matter. And so you'll buy the latest computer every other month because you find joy in these things. Or you'll get this idea about, you know, fishing and all these things and doing things and hobbies and all these pastimes to try to bring you joy, and you won't find the true fulfilled life. Amen. What brings God joy and what will bring you true joy is getting involved in winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise because he knows where true fulfillment really is found. He knows where true happiness really is found. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, You know, if you don't get the right perspective on Ecclesiastes, it can be a real depressing book. Amen. You know, if you don't understand, you know, the picture, the entire picture of Ecclesiastes, and I'm not sure some things there that I still, you know, like, what in the world he's trying to say, you know, but the entire picture of Ecclesiastes, if you don't get that, you'll think, man, why am I here? You know, it's all vanity. What a waste. Yeah, that's exactly right. If all there is the things that you have and the things that you see, and if life is just go to work and pay your bills, there is no reason. It's all vanity. Why bother? But the point is, that's all there is here on the earth. And so all the things you do, if you're doing them to try to find some kind of earthly fulfillment, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting your money. It's just a total loss. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18. He says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it under the man that shall be after me. All your accomplishments, what a waste. Oh, you done some great thing, and then the guy who takes your place when you get fired, or when you retire, or when you change jobs, he comes out and he mess changes it all around, you know, and takes all the credit and all this other jazz. Why bother? It's a total waste if that's all you're living for. The secret is, you better find fulfillment somewhere else.
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, go to work, do the best job you possibly can, but find fulfillment outside of there too.
Amen.
Or at the end of your life, you'll find out, like Solomon said in chapter 12, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Remember God. Don't forget about eternity. Paul told Timothy, he says, lay hold on eternal life. You better remember where the true joy is, where the true fulfillment is, and not get confused. Get things in their proper perspective. Chapter 1 and verse 8 of Ecclesiastes says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What brings you joy? You know, if you look out today, you would say, no doubt, what brings people joy is listening to CDs and music and movies and driving down the road with these big huge speakers blaring, you know. You say, that is what must bring human beings joy, because everybody's doing it. You go into these stores, the music stores, and all men are everywhere buying all this stuff, spending thousands of dollars. You know what? The ear is never satisfied. You want more and more, and it doesn't make you happy. You just want more and more, and you're never satisfied. You're never happy. You think you're happy, but you're really not. He, when his soul is wise, he finds where true happiness and true fulfillment really is. And the third thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me tell you, if the things you're doing are for eternal joys and earthly joys and earthly rewards, earthly joy and earthly fulfillment, that's the end of it right there. That's it. Let me tell you though, the Bible says that labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Solomon said it clearly. If what you're doing is for this earth, it's in vain. It's vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. There is no sense in it. It's total nonsense. But if during that 50 or 60 or 70 years, or be it 30, if you're involved in something for the Lord, something eternal with eternal rewards and eternal joys and eternal fulfillment, it's not in vain.
Amen.
It's not in vain.
Amen.
You won't lose it.
Amen.
God has promised that it won't be in vain. He even said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he said that he won't forget. He will not forget. You know what I found? I found that on this earth, people forget an awful lot of things. You tell me who invented the zipper. Huh? You know who invented the zipper? No, you don't know. You use it every day, but you don't know who invented it. You have no idea. Because all these earthly things, they go unnoticed. They go forgotten. Nobody knows who did it anymore. And they use it every day and they're glad for it, you know, and they take it for granted or whatever, but they don't know who did it. You know what? God says He won't forget anything.
Amen.
He won't forget anything you ever do. He even said a glass of cold water you get will be remembered.
Amen.
He won't forget things. God promised not to forget. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He that winneth souls is wise because he knows that God rewards with eternal rewards. He that winneth souls is wise because he knows that there is true value in laboring for the Lord. He who is always wise because he's not deceived and he's not sidetracked by these temporal, earthly, deceitful joys and pleasures. He finds joy elsewhere. And I'm not telling you that I don't find joy in fishing. I love to go fishing, especially when I can catch one that's 32 inches or 36 inches long. That's great. And I had a great time and I enjoy doing lots of stuff. But let me tell you, I don't want that to be my only joy. I want to find joy in things that God will actually reward. Things you do go unnoticed. Maybe, I think sometimes we overestimate the importance of earthly things. Maybe it's just a tendency to not try to hurt people's feelings or put an extra burden or to try to just, make people feel real good. You know, I just don't really think that God is that interested in how many quarterbacks some guy sacks in his lifetime, you know? I don't think that there's a reward in heaven for sacking the quarterback. But today, people make you think that, you know, oh, whatever you do, you know, if you're sacking quarterbacks or if you're driving a truck or whatever, you'll get some great reward. I don't think so. I think there's a reward in doing things that God is interested in. So you drive your truck, yeah. But what are you doing? You're driving your truck. Do you able to witness to people? That will be rewarded by God. Hey, if you're a hard worker and faithful, yeah. But don't tell me, you know, well, I sat quarterbacks for Jesus and stuff. You know, that's not what God's interested in.
Amen.
Those things are not what God is looking for. Sack quarterbacks, great. Then go out and try to win the Lord. You know, maybe God will be happy with that. After you knock the guy out for the season, you know? Do something eternally. Do something that God won't really be interested in. I don't think God's going to say, you know, well done, quarterback of the year, my faithful servant. Well done, you know, you're the salesman of the year, you know, you did great. You sold all more insurance than anybody else, you know? No, I don't think God's going to be interested in that. God's interested in souls.
Amen.
What have you done for winning souls? What have you done to add souls to the church? What have you done to get people to live for God? What have you done to get people to be interested in serving the Lord? How do you do that? Well, of course you have to live. You have to go to work and do what you have to do. But don't let that be the end of your whole existence.
Amen.
That's not the end of your existence. Man, live for something that's really real. Psalm 126. The truth is, every one of us ought to be involved somehow in winning souls.
Amen.
You young people ought to be involved in winning souls.
Amen.
You young people ought to be going to school and doing what you can to take a stand for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ought to be willing to take a little bit of flack. You ought to be willing to stand up and say, I know the Lord and I want you to know Him too. And if they laugh and if they cuss and if they ridicule, you ought to just stand there and bear the reproach for Jesus' sake, who
Amen.
Loved you and died for you. You young people, don't think you have to wait till you're 25 years old to be a witness. You can be a witness now.
Amen.
You can take a stand for Christ. You can do something where you are. Every one of us ought to be involved in winning souls for Christ. 126 of Psalm, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, it's a matter of what are you sowing? What are you sowing in your life? What are you planting? Are you sowing to the flesh? Is all the seed you sow just for this earth and this life? Are you thinking all the seed you have and planted right there in the ground right now? Are you thinking about things that are eternal? Because if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. If you sow to things that are important to God, I guarantee you, God promised you won't forget it. And you sow to the flesh, you sow things this world, just like Jesus said, they have the reward.
Amen.
Oh, you'll get it, and you'll get those joys, and you'll get those trophies, and you'll get that picture of that big fish, and your friends will go, ooh, and ah, and the next week you'll go catch a bigger one, and then you'll be nothing, and then what do you have at the end of your life? You have a bunch of trophies that nobody even cares about because everybody's got a whole bunch of them. They're everywhere. Everybody has trophies. You sow in tears.
Amen.
You're reaping joy.
Amen.
You sow those things that may cause you grief. I mean, people might make fun of you. People might say you're an idiot. They might say you're foolish. They might say you're not thinking about the future. They might say you're not thinking about your family. But if you sow in tears, Jesus said you'll reap in joy.
Amen.
And you'll come again rejoicing. And you'll say, yes, it was worth it all. It was worth the price. It was worth the effort. It was worth the ridicule. It was worth the uncertainty and insecurity and the language and the trouble and the culture. It was worth it all.
Amen.
Oh, because you had a little bit of forethought. You had a little bit of that vision that sees beyond this life. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. No, you need a new set of glasses.
Amen.
You need a new set of eyes. You need an eye operation. You need to see those things that you cannot see. You understand that? You need to see those things that are far beyond this world. The things that your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers cannot see. Oh, they cannot see it at all, but you can see if you lift up your eyes.
Amen.
You lift up your eyes and see those fields white to harvest. You lift up your eyes and see souls of men ignorant and blind, and you see how they're being led astray and being deceived, and you can sow some everlasting fruit.
Amen.
If you just get your eyes on the right thing, if you just understand what God considers wise. Financial planning is a great thing. We're here in San Antonio, or whether we're somewhere else, we ought to be winning souls.
Amen.
And some of you, it's no doubt, God wants you here in San Antonio winning souls. God wants you in San Antonio supporting the work of evangelism here and all over the world. No doubt about it. God has different gifts and callings to different people. But no doubt, God wants some to get up and go. God wants some to win souls somewhere else. He wants some to go somewhere else where there's not many people preaching the gospel. He that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
If God wants you to go somewhere else. If God wants you to go, to some other country, what are you going to say? Well, I'm not that wise. I'm not that wise yet. I'm a little bit foolish still. I want to just do my own thing here. And hey, you better listen to God, because he that winneth souls is wise. Amen.
Amen. Amen.